الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم وقال تعالى ولا تتبع الهوى فيضلك عن سبيل الله إن الذين يضلون عن سبيل الله لهم عذاب شديد بما نسوا يوم الحساب وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حجبت النار بالشهوات وحجبت الجنة بالمكاره أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله my respected ulama elders brothers young ones in Islam I'd like to give an example there was a person he was a carpenter and he had become very old he was working for many years so he went to his boss and he told the boss I want to retire now I'm an old man so please can you give me a pension package So the boss told him, okay, but I want you to do me a favor. One last house you must build for me. There's a special friend, I've got a special friend of mine, I want to give him this house. So please will you build this house for me? I'm giving you 6 months, and in the 6 months you can use whatever materials you want to, how much of money you want to, whatever you want to use, you can use to do a good job. But anyhow, this man, his heart wasn't in there so much. So he started building the house where he could cut corners, he was cutting corners. Sometimes he was sitting with his cell phone and playing with the cell phone. Boss wasn't watching him. He didn't really worry. Anyhow, he continued building the house and he used some inferior materials. He could have made a bit of effort, gone and got the better materials. He wasn't paying for it, but it was for the benefit of the house. Some places he saw now the electricity, the line, the wire is getting cut. So he just did another job he did. So it'll work. If it works for 2 months, 3 months, it's okay. They won't find out later on. Some places they found one animal was dead, he just covered it up, put a brick inside there, so the dead rat is stuck inside. He did many mistakes he did in the house, but he wasn't worried now because it was his last job of his life. So after finishing the job, he goes to the boss. He tells the boss, finish it now, 6 months, please give me a pension package. He says, no problem, I'll give you the pension package. And here's the keys, the house, you are my special friend, I'm giving you these keys, your house. Now the man will sit and think to himself, oh, if only I had realized this was my own house I was building. Dear brothers, every one of us, we carpenters, we're building houses. We're building our house. Every day we are building a house, our house of Akhirat. It must not happen tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, we will say, oh, if only I had known how I would have built my house. How perfect I would have made it. And I would have built the biggest house, I would have built the penthouse. Why must I build on the ground floor? So subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala has given us one life. One life. And a person can get Jannat, inshallah, he can make an effort, he'll get Jannat. But Allah doesn't want us just to get Jannat. Allah wants us to get His marifat, His closeness, connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine a person comes in this world and he leaves without the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Malik ibn Dinar rahmatullah alayhi said, Kharaja ahlu dunya min ad-dunya. Walam yazuqu atyaba shay'in fiha. The people of this dunya came and they haven't tasted the most enjoyable thing in this world. He was asked, what is the most enjoyable thing in the world? He said, Ma'rifatullahi Azza wa Jal. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have all come in this world. How many of us have even made an effort? That I want to get this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to get the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or we're just living life and passing life. And we're living and dying. Namutu wa nahya, like how the non-Muslims are. Living my life and passing my life and finishing my life. Or we have come with the object of life. So really the first thing we can do is make an intention in life. That I haven't just come in this world just to pass my time. I've come to gain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how will a person gain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ulama say very, very simple to gain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is some effort you have to make. That man was building his house, he had to make some effort. 6 months, I knew I've got 6 months I have to build this house. If in that 6 months I'm sitting, I'm watching on my phone 3 months, 4 months, I'm sitting and talking with my friends, I'm wasting my time here, then nothing will get built. That house will be a complete failure. But if a person is making an effort, never mind, 6 months, I won't worry about my phone. I won't worry about this. I won't worry about that. All my desires, leave it out. I have to build a house. I've got an objective. Now he's making an effort in that line. SubhanAllah, what house will be built? He's made effort in that line. So one of the greatest barriers which is preventing us from building our house of akhirat, from building our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is our gunas, our desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created desires in every single person. There's a system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Rakim Sahib rahmatullah used to mention that, see, Allah is saying that you must become my close friends, gain connection with me. And I only want two things. Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. Iman. As I said, we all got iman, alhamdulillah, 50% of the work is done. He said, the second thing is now to get taqwa. What does taqwa mean? Very, very simple. Fulfill your faraz, wajib, sunnat muakkada, and stay away from haram. So alhamdulillah, the first part, majority of us who are here will be fulfilling our faraz, wajib, sunnat muakkada. But now when it comes to our desires, our haram, that is where many of us fall. I can't control myself. I can't save myself. I'm falling into sin. And in the past, there wasn't so much of sin. It was more difficult for a person to commit sin. The asbab and the means of sin was difficult for a person. Example, you want to meet a woman. You have to go in public. You have to meet her. But today on a cell phone, you can be a married man also. But it's so easy. One message can be sent to her. She's replying to you. You're replying to her. What's the conversation you're having? How are you enjoying yourself? You're sitting in the cell phone at night. All I must say that the Ummul Khabais, you can say, before it was a TV, you used to tell the people. But the TV still, you have to put it on in front of other people. With a cell phone, a person is all alone. Whatever gunas and sins shaitan wanted to, he package it in a cell phone. So how much a person has to really control himself today? The desires are there. Desires for money. Desires for name and fame. And the desires of lust in a person. This Allah has created. So there's nothing wrong with the desires. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali to mention that these desires are very beneficial for a person. If you never have desires, how will a person get taqwa? How will he get reach the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Hazrat used to mention, if for example, if Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is an angel, he's sitting here, and Miss World comes and sits on his lap, nothing will happen to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. No, because he's got no desires. So Jibreel alayhi salam, you can't call him a wali of Allah. He cannot be called a muttaqi, a pious person. Because a pious person is only a person who got desires and he broke his desires for Allah's pleasure. But if you bring the greatest wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you make him sit here, and then you bring Miss World and you make her sit on his lap, what's going to happen to him? Automatically his temperature will start rising. Everything will start rising. Because now he's got desires within himself. Because Allah has created that natural desire within a person. So the first thing you must understand is desires are natural. Allah has created it. If there was no desires in a person, he won't want to eat, he won't want to drink, he won't want to earn money. So desires are natural. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it. And in the past people used to love when they fulfill their desires in a normal way. But in today's time, the enemies have made so much of an effort that our desires have been increased. Not to stay within the limits, the bounds, but much, much more than what is allowed. So I got my wife, but I'm not happy with that. I want somebody else's wife. Or I'm looking at other women. Example, before, if you got married, your wife was in Parda, the other woman in Parda, you only saw one woman in your life, you'll be happy. Alhamdulillah, I got a wife. Go to many places in the world where people are very poor. There's no TVs there. They got a small mud house. They're living. They're very happy and contented. The food, they're eating one kind of food every day. They haven't seen a life. They haven't seen other countries and cities. Alhamdulillah, they're very contented how they're living their lives. They get married. They got their wealth. Whatever little bit wealth they got, they're earning. These are the extra desires. But today, the enemies have put these desires in front of a person. That's why Nabi alayhi salam said, always look at the people below you in dunya. Don't look at the people above you. But how they have brought the people above you, you watch television. You're watching everybody higher than you. They don't show an ugly woman. They don't show the most prettiest woman. They're not going to show a junk car. They're not going to show the smartest car. You got the smartest car now, but you're not happy with your car. Because they saw it on the TV. What a smart car they got. And then they brought it on the cell phone. So everything, even though the Maulana says it's haram to watch TV. So now he got no TV in his house, alhamdulillah. But the cell phone came in everyone's house. It's in everybody's hands. They've made it a necessity of life. So in this way, our desires are increasing all the time. So all the time, a person now, you're not happy. And really, to control oneself, save oneself from the cell phone, the smartphone, the desires which come into a person, it's a person that has a lot of strength and control of himself. Otherwise, it's so easy for a person, every person. cases, everyone sees he's a Maulana, he's a Sufi, he's a Khanka person. He's watching this here, the woman will write, my husband is watching this film now, he wants me to do these things. He wants me to do these actions. I never heard of this in my life. Is this even permissible for a person to do such filthy things, such dirty things? But why is that that desire has been increased, it has been put in a person? There was no desire before. But because he's watching all of these things, so Allah Ta'ala protect and save us. The first thing, remember that desire is nothing wrong with it. But when we exceed the bounds, we fall into sin. And sins, every guna and sin is a deception. It's a dhoka. A person feels, if I fulfill this sin, I'll be okay. Every sin is going to cause more and more problems. One hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, he said that a person, he, because of a guna and a sin, they said there was love between two people. Ma tawadda isnan. فَيُفَرَّقُ بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالذَّنْبِ يُذْنِبُ أَحَدُهُمَا. You see, two people that love for one another. Then they start fighting among themselves. There's disunity now. There's problems. Nabi alayhi salam said, it's a guna, one of you, two of them have committed. So many times the husband will come home and his wife is in a bad mood. She's shouting and she's fighting with him. I don't know what's wrong with my wife. But when I came home, I did nothing wrong. No, I was talking to my secretary, I forgot about that. I was sitting and chatting with her and I was talking on the phone with other people. I forgot all of that. I came home, I was so nice to my wife. I don't know why her akhlaq is so bad towards me. I don't know what's wrong with her. But I'm not looking at myself. So Nabi alayhi salam is telling us in this hadith, this guna, the sins, this is the effect it has. The black dot which is created in the heart of a person. SubhanAllah, then a person eventually doesn't feel like doing good actions. I just committed a sin. I didn't know it was so bad. Oh, I didn't make tawbah from it. Now the black dot is coming. It's becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. Many people are saying, I'm feeling depressed. I've got no happiness in life. MashaAllah, yesterday Morana mentioned a beautiful example of depression. Repeated for those who are not here. One man, he went to the psychiatrist and he said, I got too much of depression in life. I'm not happy. So the doctor told him, hey, can you see that big tent outside there? There's one comedian who has come to our town. And people are laughing so much with his, they were listening to his stories. And all of the depression is going away. So you must go for his show. Pay that money and go for his show. And you see how many people he's making them laugh. So this man kept quiet. And he said, you never hear my advices. He said, I heard your advices. So he said, why don't you follow it? Go and sit by that comedian. He said, I am that comedian. So he himself, he can't make himself happy. Where is he going to make other people happy? Many years ago, there was one person. I think his name was Dave Carnegie or something. He wrote many books on life skills. How you must live your life. And how you must be a happy person. And he, many books, many people, millions of people bought his books. And then he committed suicide himself. SubhanAllah. So he's trying to solve other people's problems, he couldn't save himself. So many people are saying we want peace of mind, contentment of heart. But in guna and sin, you will never ever find it. It'll make a person more depressed. There's no happiness in it. There's one sickness, it's called istisqa. Istisqa means a person drinks water. And no matter how much he drinks, the thirst just increases and increases and increases. So I always thought this comes in the kitab. I thought it was a fairy tale, like it's just written in the kitabs. But then once one ustaz from Darul Zakaria, he gave a bayan and he mentioned that he had one of his satis in madrasa, one of his friends, and he had the sickness in him. And he used to sit in class, he had a 5-liter tank of water next to him. He was from a wealthy family, so his khadim would be sitting next to him. And during the period, he'll be drinking 5 liters of water. And as he's drinking the water, his stomach is becoming bigger, bigger, bigger. And after the program, after the lesson of 1 hour, he'll go to toilet. Go to toilet, take all of the things out. Now his stomach will come back then again. He'll come back to the class, the 5 liter will be filled up again. Again he'll drink it. And every hour he's drinking like this, yeah. Istisqa is a sickness. No matter how much a person drinks, even all the water of the ocean, he won't get satisfied with it. So this is a sickness. So the ulama say that all gunas and sins are like the sickness, istisqa. The more a person gets involved in it, it doesn't get less. The deception of shaitan and nafs, I'm just going to do it a little bit, and then I'm going to I'll control myself. But no, these sicknesses, they are increasing. As ulama say, Allama Busiri rahmatullahi alayhi, says, nafsu kaptif. The nafs of a person is like a small child. In tuhmilu shabba ala hubbi rada'i. If you leave it, it's going to grow up with the love of that milk. Just drink that milk and he's enjoying that milk. And the child will reach 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. You never made that effort upon it. It will never ever come out of that milk. But when tuftimu and fatimi, but if a person has to stop himself, he has to try to pull himself out, the child. The easy way is, you tell your mother-in-law, you know what, it's very hard at the moment. Let's send the child to your house, you must win the child over. So the 2 nights you have a good sleep. And the poor mother-in-law and father-in-law, they're sitting and suffering. The child is crying the whole night because he's uneasy. But once you made that sacrifice and you came out of that milk, now the whole world will open up to the child. Now the biryani and the roast and the samosas and all of the juices and what supposed to open up for the child. But if he just had to sacrifice himself a little bit and had to leave that milk, then you would have seen a whole world opening up to him. So we are involved in gunas and sins. We are fulfilling our desires because we forget a little bit of enjoyment. Definitely in every guna and every sin, there is enjoyment. But the harms of it is extremely great. Imam Shafi rahmatullah has mentioned one amazing poem. It comes in the hadith actually. عِفُوا عَنِ النِّسَىٰ تَعُفُّ النِّسَاءُكُمْ. You stay away from other women, Allah will keep your woman pure. بِرُّ أَبَاءَكُمْ تَبَرُّكُمْ أَبْنَاءُكُمْ. You be kind to your parents, your children will be kind to you. كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ. As you do, so will be done upon you. It's every action in life has got a reaction. If you're going to do a good action, it'll have a good reaction. And if you do a bad action, it's going to have a bad reaction on you. So Imam Shafi rahmatullah mentioned an amazing poem when regarding this hadith here. He said, عِفُّ تَعُفُّ نِسَاءُكُمْ فِي الْمُحَرَّمِ. You protect yourself and save yourself from haram, from your desires. Your woman folk will be safe from haram. وَتَجَنَّبُوا مَا لَا يَلِيقُ بِمُسْلِمِينَ. And stay away from those things which are not appropriate for a Muslim. Whatever is not appropriate for a Muslim, you stay away from it. Whether it's money, whether it's woman, whether it's your desires. He said, إِنَّ الزِّنَا أَمْرٌ دَيْنٌ. فَإِنْ أَقْرَدْتَهُ كَانَ الْوَفَاءُ مِنْ أَهَلِ بَيْتِكَ فَعَلَمِهِ. He said, zina, fornication, adultery, is a qarz, it's a debt. If you're giving somebody, if you're taking a loan from somebody, you have to pay it off. And once you have taken the debt, the paying off will take place from your own family. You should understand as well. He said, a person who makes zina, مَنْ يَزْنِي يُزْنَ بِهِ وَلَوْ بِجِدَارِهِ. If he makes zina with somebody else, zina is going to be made with him, even though it's with the wall of his house. In kunta yahada labiban fafhami. Oh my friend, if you are intelligent, understand what I'm telling you. And then he said, may yazin, yazni, fi qawmin bi alfi dirhamin. A person who made zina, he made fornication in any nation for 2,000 dirhams. Yuzna fi ahli bayti bi dirhamin. Somebody is going to make zina in his house for 1 dirham. Now you take somebody else's wife or somebody else's sister, somebody is going to do it with your sister. Someone is doing with your wife. And one is the action of final action of zina, but even the zina of the eyes, the zina of the ears. Today many people got doubts about their wife. They say, my wife, you know, my brother-in-law, the way he's looking at my wife, I'm not happy about it. But you're not saying, I'm looking at my sister-in-law and how much of enjoyment I'm getting there. So automatically what you're doing, you're going to see the result of it. Many years ago it happened in one Saudi person, he wrote this article and he says, you know, when I was a young boy, 18, 19 years old, I made zina, I fornicated with one woman. And she fell pregnant. So when the family found out, they were very upset. And they came to me, they wanted to hit me. So they came to my house. They wanted to, very angry with me, the brother came to me. So I told him, what do you mean? I don't even know who this girl is. What's your proof that I'm the father? So he had no proof, he couldn't tell me anything. He was very angry, he went away. See, anyhow, this carried on. One day I come home, and my mother is crying. What happened? Your sister. Another boy, he made her pregnant. I was very angry. I was fuming. I went out to this guy. I told him, how could you have done this to my sister? He said, what I did? He said, what proof you got this to me? I don't know what you're talking about. He said, this is one blow to me. He said, then I got married. First night I'm speaking with my wife, I realized she's not a virgin. I said, you're not a virgin? She said, hide my fault, Allah will hide your fault. He never said also he wasn't a virgin. She told him, hide my fault, Allah will hide your fault. He said, it was the second blow, I realized it was my guna. And then he said, one day my wife gave birth, she had a child. And 6 years old, my daughter is. And one day she comes crying in the house, the guard had raped her. He said, the third blow, it hit me. My guna and my sin, I never made tawbah from it. It was coming back to me. Whatever gunas and sins a person is doing is going to hit a person back in life. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah loves us. Allah wants us to come out of a life of guna and sin because Allah wants us to get His love. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has made this examination that you just have to put your one leg on your nafs and your desires and you're going to reach Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So Allah has created this desire. As I mentioned, that without, when the desires are there and it's broken, then only a person can reach Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala, this is that examination which Allah Ta'ala has given to a person. So there's desires is in every single person. It's just now for a person to say, So our Buzurgs have mentioned one thing. They say, many people say, I can't stop my desires. It's too hard. I can't control myself. It's too tempting. So ulama say, because nafs and shaitan, when a person becomes weak, they become like a lion over that person. They got full control over the person. And on the other hand, when a person says, I can't do it, then shaitan and nafs becomes like a fox. So I never used to understand, Hazrat Akib Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, shout your nafs. Tell your nafs that, are you weak? I'm going to give you a good hiding. Dr. Hazrat was just joking, but then when I read Hazrat Amir Rahmatullah and our other busrus, he said, speak to your nafs and shout to your nafs and tell him, I can do it. I'm not frightened of you. I can control myself. You see, how the strength will come into a person. So we need to psych ourselves up. I can do it. If other people are doing it, why can't I stop myself? If they can control their gazes, why can't I control my gaze? It's difficult, definitely it is. It's a mujahada, it's a sacrifice. But I can do it. And when a person starts moving in that line, it becomes easier. And when a person goes into guna and sin, it becomes more difficult for a person to come out of it. So when a person is now put his foot is down, I'm going to correct myself. Inshallah, slowly already Allah is helping him. The example of ulama I give is a small child, a baby. If he is around people who can walk, if a child only lives amongst people who can't walk, the child will never walk. But if the child is amongst people who can walk, the child can say, I also want to walk. And you see the small child. He can't walk, but he's trying to stand up. Because he's looking at those people. Some people are so tall. So now the fridge, they can reach on top. So what he does, he gets a chair and he jumps on top of the chair. And he can also reach the top. He wants to be high. You tell him, don't stand on a chair, you're going to fall down. But he wants to be like them. Because he's staying in the company of people who are tall. So one thing is, when you stay in the company of the righteous and pious people, so we see them as examples. Oh, subhanAllah, they're managing. So why can't I manage? If you're staying with the people who are of dunya, people who are like on the floor, then you'll never wake up in life. So that child now, he saw the people who are waking up. But now obviously he's not going to wake up one time and start running. He's going to make mistakes. He's going to fall down. Make a lot of times he'll fall down. 100 times he fell down, but each time he stood up. Eventually a time will come when a person will be able to not only walk, he'll be running. He'll be sitting on the bicycle, he fell down 1 time, 2 times, 5 times, 10 times, 50 times he fell down, but he said, I can stand up and I can wake up and I can move. He'll wake up and he'll move. And our person will be not riding on the bicycle. He'll be putting both his legs up and he'll be standing on the bicycle and his father will be standing there, his hands on his head, and the father will be parashan and worried and my son is going to knock himself. But that child, the way he's moving with the bicycle, perfection, because he made an effort in that line. So the one thing is, if a person says, I can't do it, it's too hard. Family parada is so difficult. My sister-in-law, I enjoy speaking to her. It's so nice, the feeling I get when I speak to her. Then if you have to like break off, they say, you're breaking family ties. The men and women must sit separately. It's so difficult. But my dear brothers, look into our hearts. We know ourselves, that enjoyment which a person is getting. Subhanallah, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Once he was on a journey, and one person wrote a letter to him. And in the letter he wrote that my daughter-in-law, she passed away. And because of this, I'm so parashan, I'm worried. And I can't think properly, I can't read namaz. My tilawat of Quran has gone out. And he wrote many things. So Hazrat Amir Rahmatullah said, it looks like your relationship with your daughter-in-law was not permissible. So there were some ulama there, they said, what do you mean? I mean, this is daughter-in-law, she was making a lot of khidmat of him. So why are you having bad thoughts? So Hazrat said, no. The way he wrote it, he said she was 18 years old and she wrote certain words. It showed that his connection with his daughter-in-law wasn't correct. Nafs is playing with every person. Nobody can ever trust himself. But anyhow, then Hazrat Amir Rahmatullah Ali, he told him, then he actually shouted those two ulama, they were his murid. He said, first I'm the sheikh, you come in telling me what I must do and what I mustn't do. So he gave them a good shouting, and then he said, when Allah Ta'ala accepts a person for the certain khidmat of deen, Allah inspires his heart. And he does the things in the right way. Allah Ta'ala inspires him to say certain things, certain conditions of a person. He corrects the person. So Allah Ta'ala has inspired me for this year. 2 weeks later, that man, they wrote a letter back, and he wrote to Hazrat Amir, he said, no, Hazrat, definitely what you're saying is right. But then Hazrat Amir Rahman said another ajeeb thing, amazing thing. He said, look here, we can never trust our nafs. He said, me also, I can actually feel it. When a woman writes a letter to me, I get a bit of extra enjoyment in my nafs. SubhanAllah, these people, their hearts were clean. Me and you will say, I don't get no feelings. Hazrat is saying that, I talk to the woman, nothing happens to me. And Abu Zuru said, then you must go check yourself up. Are you a man or are you something else? Because if you're a man, automatically a woman is talking to you, there will definitely some feelings will come in there. And that's why Allah has given us this command. The brother-in-law is death. He's the worst compared to outside people. In the family, raising parda, then automatically that young that brother-in-law is looking at his young sister-in-law who just got married 18, and his wife now, she got 2-3 children, she's big size, and this young pretty girl is coming in the house, and he says he's not getting any feelings for her, he's lying. He's there. Definitely that feeling is in there. So, Hazrat Ali Rahman said, when a lady writes a letter to me, that wasn't seeing, wasn't talking from somewhere else, he's writing a letter to me, but this feeling comes in my nafs, nice feeling. You know what, a lady wrote a letter to me. So Hazrat Ali Rahmatullah said, then I make tawbah and istighfar for this year also. Because I know that this is the enjoyment, my nafs is getting some enjoyment in there. So how much they were particular about looking after their nafs. So may Allah Ta'ala grant myself and all of us tawfiq. So just a few simple ilajas, inshallah, to control our nafs. Number one, don't ever trust our nafs. Don't say, I'm okay. Every one of us, throughout our lives, Hazrat was old, in his 80s. And one day somebody sent, they sent one young boy in his room. Hazrat got very, very angry and he came out and said, I don't trust my nafs at this age also. So there's nobody who can say, I can trust myself. We have to continuously make an effort against our desires. So a few ways, simple ways for us to get our nafs under control, our desires. We all know we got our desires. I can't control my tongue. I can't control my lust. I can't control my eyes. And I tried many times and I fell down and I woke up and I tried. So one is the suhbat and company of the awliya Allah, the pious people sit in their company, inshallah. This has a very great effect. As I mentioned, when you see the big people standing up and walking and running, you also become inspired towards it. Second thing we need is a dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala daily, to make some dhikr of Allah ta'ala. This gives courage to a person, it gives strength to a person. But one very simple, or two simple things I will end off with. Once a person came to Ibrahim ibn Adam rahmatullah alayhi, and he said, I can't stop myself from committing guna. So he said, no, don't worry, I'll give you permission to commit guna. If you want to commit guna, you can do it. But just 5 conditions. He said, okay, what is that? He said, the first thing is, if you want to commit sins, commit any guna and sin, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you rozi, you're breaking his command, don't eat his rozi and sustenance. Don't eat Allah's food. He's giving you the food and you're breaking his command. So don't eat his food. So he said, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. No creature is moving on the surface of that. Allah is giving you rozi and sustenance to it. Whose food am I going to eat? So he said, you're eating Allah's food. And then you break Allah's command. What kind of person are you? Oh, your father is giving his child everything in the house, and then he's going and he's breaking his father's commands. The father will kick him out of the house. Allah is giving us so much, but my eyes I'm losing in the wrong places. My ears I'm using, my eyes, my tongue, how I'm speaking, the desires of my nerves, how I'm following it. I'm sitting with the cell phone. I just ate a lovely meal, and I sat on the cell phone, and I'm watching all of that haram. What kind of, what do you say, nimak haram? Ungrateful person, a person, Allah Ta'ala protect us. Then he said, okay, if you are eating Allah's rozi, but if you want to disobey Allah, don't disobey Allah on Allah's land. Go to some other land, not on Allah's land. That's it. The whole thing Allah Ta'ala owns. Whatever is on the surface of the earth is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can I go out of the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, then how can you on Allah's land, in your father's house, you're breaking your father's commands, and you're doing wrong? The wife in the husband's bed, in front of the husband, she's sitting with another man there. Which husband will tolerate that there? So in the land of Allah's land, how can you break Allah's command? Then he said, okay, and the third thing, he said, third thing, whenever you want to commit a guna, no problem, but go to such a place where Allah can't see you. Please some place where Allah Ta'ala can't see you. He said, Alam ya'alam bi anna Allah yara. Don't you know Allah is watching me everywhere? Wherever I'm going in the world, Allah is watching me. She said, how can you do it? The small child is next, standing next to you, you're frightened of the child. Your wife is next to you, you're frightened of your wife. But Allah is watching you all the time, and you're not scared, frightened of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give myself and all of us this yaqeen and conviction that at every moment Allah is watching us. And then he said, the fourth thing is, that you know what, if you want to delay in making tawbah, no problem. When the angel of death comes to take your soul, tell him, you know what, just wait a few minutes. I just want to go make tawbah, correct my life, change it now. And then you come back after half an hour, after 1 hour, after one day. The angel of death won't listen to me. He's going to listen to me and stop at that time. When it comes to take my life, it will take my life suddenly. I won't be able to tell it anything. You see, you want to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't know when the angel of death is coming to you. And then he said, the final thing is on the day of Qiyamah, when the angels of Azab come to you, because of all the wrong you have done, they want to take you to the fire of Jahannam. Then tell them, no, don't take me. I don't want to go to Jannah. I want to go to Jannat. They won't listen to me. Whatever I'm telling them, they're not going to listen. He says, so all of these 5 things, how can a person commit guna? So just keep these things in our mind. First, Allah's ni'mat and Allah's bounties. Allah is watching me at every single moment. I'm living on Allah's earth and Allah is watching me. How can I break Allah's commands? And then think about the day of Qiyamah. Think about my death. In the Quran Sharif, Allah says, why does a person follow his desires? Diman nasu yawm al-hisab. Because he forgot the day of Qiyamah. If we fear staring before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the only way we'll be able to prevent our nafs from following his desires. And remember, whatever desires we follow in this world, it's a test. If we control ourselves for the few seconds, Allah is going to give us something far, far better in this world and in the year after also. Ulama say a person who drinks in this world, he'll be deprived of drinking in the year after. He might enter Jannah also. But one of the meanings of this hadith is he won't be able to drink wine in the year after. Allah will give him all other enjoyments of Jannah, but because he enjoyed himself in this world, he'll be deprived of the drink of Jannah. A person who wore silk in this world, he'll be deprived of wearing silk in the year after. A person who listened to music in this world, he'll be deprived of listening to music in the year after. And Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah is mentioned, looking at these hadith, a person who enjoyed himself with haram woman in this world, he'll be deprived of the woman of Jannah. You know, you get some people in the world, they got no desire for women. They just love their life, eating, drinking. But they got no, you bring a woman in front of them, it doesn't make a difference. They are not very well. So Allah will make a person like that in the year after. He enjoyed himself, so his enjoyment has come to an end. So Allah Ta'ala make us among those people for a short while. That man who said, 6 months, let me just make my examination. I just have to build my house, and then I'm going to live inside with all my wives and enjoy myself for the rest of my life. Just for a little bit while. I got 6 months. Yeah, we've got a few seconds of this worldly life. So short, so short, so short. When the time of death come, a person will say, Ya Allah, if only I was intelligent, I wouldn't have wasted my life. Allah give us tawfiq. And the second thing, which is very simple, which our buzrugs have mentioned, is to make tawbah. They say if you fall down 100 times, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Allah loves those people who make a lot of tawbah. It means Allah is saying, I know you're going to make a lot of gunas. I know you're going to fall down a lot of times. But you carry on making tawbah. In this world, when one person went to Hazrat Anju Rahman, he said, I make a lot of gunas. So Hazrat said, okay, you got white clothing, and then a black spot came on it, so what you do? He said, I take it to the dobi, the washerman, we wash it. He said, then another white spot comes, after a black spot comes, what you do? He said, I take it back to the washerman. Every second, third day, I'm taking it back to the washerman. So do you ever say that, no, too much of black spots are coming, so never mind, let me leave it. You carry on going to the washerman. So as I said, similarly, go carry on going to the dobi. Carry on, your heart is getting dirty and filthy. Carry on going, purifying it. See, there's a difference, but in your clothing, the more you wash it, what happens is, it becomes weaker and weaker. And eventually a time comes when I think tears. You see, the heart, as you continue making tawbah, it becomes stronger and stronger. So each time you fell, you make tawbah. Ya Allah, please make me maaf. Ya Allah, I made a mistake. Forgive me. So now a person's heart becomes stronger. 100 times you fell, but eventually a time will come and you make tawbah each time. Ya Allah, Dr. Abdullah Arifi rahmatullah, speak to Allah. Ya Allah, I'm very weak. Allah, I want to come out of this guna. Allah, I know my eyes are not under control. But Ya Allah, you help me. Ya Allah, I'm watching this porn. Ya Allah, you help me. Take me out of it. I'm feeling filthy and dirty. And you cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You carry on. Even if it one day you do it 100 times, no problem. At that moment when you are committing the guna, say, Allah, I don't want to do it in future. And after 5 minutes, you go and fall in the guna again, no problem, you make tawbah again. And then you make tawbah again. Eventually a time will come when the heart becomes so strong, it will become easy for a person to come out of this guna. Hazrat Ali rahmatullah says, I'm giving you such an easy prescription. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيَّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Give a whole bayan on this year. Say that person who makes tawbah and he's got iman and he does good actions, Allah will change his evil qualities into good qualities. Gunas which he thought was impossible to come out from, Allah will take him out from it. He himself will be shocked. It was so easy. And then he will get the enjoyment of ibadat. He used to say, Buzruks used to say that nafs likes lazzat, it likes enjoyment. But he doesn't desire any certain specific kind of enjoyment. He must get some enjoyment in life. So he said, give it enjoyment. Give it the enjoyment of tilawat of Quran. Give it the enjoyment of salat. Swan life, we know what enjoyment there was in there. Then only a person will understand. Allah Ta'ala give myself and all of us tawfiq. Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu said, if the people's hearts were clean, they would never ever have got tired of reading Quran Sharif. Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah said, if the people of the kings of the world knew what enjoyment we're getting in our hearts, in our ibadat, they would bring swords to cut our hearts open and to take out that enjoyment. There's so much of enjoyment in that. But the ulama say, first you just have to break your nafs. Come out of it. You have to break. Allah Ta'ala is testing you. Once you pass that examination, you yourself will find the halawat of iman, the enjoyment of iman in salat, in tilawat of Quran Sharif. But it's an examination for a few days. Allah Ta'ala grant myself and all of us tawfiq, understand the object of our life. We've come to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Daily make dua to Allah Ta'ala, ask Allah Ta'ala. And one of the easiest and simplest ways to get the love of Allah Ta'ala in today's time, our wuzur say in the past, it was very difficult. The Lord was wrong. And it used to take people many, many years to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because those times, the traveling, you have horses, and you've got people are walking. Today Allah has made cars. So in a few minutes, few hours, the person is reaching destinations. So they say in today's time also, because we have become spiritually weak also. So Allah has made the path very easy. But the examination is a bit more harder. You have to put petrol or whatever. So the petrol which Allah has put into ourselves, now just to harness it in the right way, to break our nafs. It's a short while a person makes sacrifice upon his nafs, and then you see what Allah will open up for him. The love of Allah will come in his heart. Enjoyment of this world, enjoyment of the year after. Allah Ta'ala grant myself and all of us tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.